Thanks, Jordan. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles this morning to John chapter 14. We'll be continuing our series in Advent and looking at these. Last week we looked at the Advent of hope and Jesus bringing hope into the world. This morning we'll be looking at peace and how Jesus coming into the world brings peace and the longing for peace that we have. We'll just be looking at kind of one verse this morning in John chapter 14 and verse 27. And my hope and my aim at the end of this sermon today is that you will have John chapter 14, verse 27 memorized. And we're going to work through that together as I preach this morning. It's just one verse, but I think it's a verse that's really important for us to have hidden away in our heart, especially as we're looking at the world around us, especially when we watch the news, when we look at our Facebook feed, when we talk to our neighbors, when maybe even our own house, that we see oftentimes that peace is in short supply. We don't live in a world that is very peaceful at times. We don't live in a house that is very peaceful at times. We don't go to a job that is very peaceful at times. And I want us, as those who trust in Christ, to have this truth buried and hidden in our hearts, and so that as we walk through life and as we the things of this world come at us, we're able to have peace in the middle of those things. And this morning, I want to kind of talk about peace and what that looks like from John chapter 14 and verse 27, and talk a little bit about the objective peace that we have with God through Christ and how that is declared over us because of Christ. And then I want to spend a little bit more time talking about the subjective peace, kind of the day-to-day sense of calm and rest and quietness in our soul in the midst of everything else that's going on in our life. You see, several years ago, I was subbing for a kindergarten class. Don't ask me why. I don't know why, but I was. I was subbing for a kindergarten class. And if you're at all familiar, maybe about 10 years ago, there was a massive tornado that came through southern Indiana. You might have heard of Henryville, Indiana. There's a huge tornado. It's just one town south or north of the town where we lived in. Came through the town, destroyed a lot of homes and businesses and school and trees. That storm came in the middle of a school day. I was substituting for a kindergarten class in the middle of a tornado as it was bearing down on our town. In the middle of that, as the tornado drill kind of came on, I was to take this kindergarten class into the girls' restroom, and that's where they were. That's the safest place for this kindergarten class to be able to be in the midst of this tornado warning. Now, you can only imagine when sirens are going off and the bells are going off in the school, and I'm trying to get this kindergarten class into the girls' bathroom, that it's not exactly the smoothest of transitions. It's not exactly the easiest way to get 20 kindergarten boys and girls into the girls' bathroom to be able to sit quietly while we wait out this storm. As we're going through this, we see all the kids, some are messing around, some are laughing, some are scared to death, but there is this one boy that seemed unusually calm in the midst of all of this. As we were in the restroom and as we were waiting there and kind of talking and seeing the rest of the kids, I kind of noticed that he is calmer than the rest. And I asked him in the middle of this, hey, everything's going on. You're calmer than the rest. What's going on? And his eyes lit up as bright as they could be. And he said to me, we're in the girls' bathroom. That's the only thing he could focus on in that moment. A place he knew he was not supposed to be, but he was welcomed and rushed into by his teacher, knowing everything that was going on around him, knowing there was a storm going on around him, knowing that there were sirens going off and there were other kids freaking out. He was just focused on the fact, I'm in the girls' bathroom. I know that's kind of a shallow comparison, but some of it is what I want us to get to this morning, is that in the middle of the storms, in the middle of the things that are bearing down on us in life, the kind of peace that Jesus offers us is the kind of peace that doesn't make sense. The kind of peace that we can focus on one thing, being Jesus, and remain calm and quiet in our spirit as the storms are raging around us. Not that we're oblivious. This little boy knew there was a tornado. He knew there was a storm, but there was something far more important to this little boy than the storm going around him. He was doing something he wasn't supposed to do, and he felt like he was getting away with it. For us, the same is true, that with Christ in our hearts and in our lives, when our focus and our rest is in him, we're aware of the storms going on around us. We're aware of the heartache going on around us, But if we're focused on Christ, we can remain there. To kind of sum up this message this morning, in a world filled with anxiety and fear and anger, Jesus has come to offer peace, his peace. Not the denial or temporary relief the world offers, but a lasting and quiet goodness in the midst of any circumstance. Jesus offers a peace that can rule and guard your heart and drive away the fear that is so often present. You see, we're celebrating Christmas now, and we're celebrating the coming of our Messiah, the coming of Christ, the coming of Emmanuel, the coming of God with us to rescue us and to save us from our sins, to forgive us of our debts. And one of the things that Jesus brings to us, one of the things that was prophesied about Jesus from Isaiah, it's probably a very familiar verse to us in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, that Jesus is given the title of Prince of Peace, that he is coming to bring peace into the world, that he is our peace. And he's bringing two kinds of peace. He's bringing a peace with God. He's also bringing a peace within our hearts, within our souls. We see in Luke chapter 2, as the angels are shouting and singing to the shepherds, one of the things that they sing about Jesus, there's a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those whom he is pleased." One of the core reasons that Jesus came to the earth was for peace. One of the things that we desperately need in our world today, one of the things that I desperately need in my heart today is peace. As a quiet sense of the power and the goodness of God to care for me and provide for me and love me no matter what is going on in the world around me. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says this. This is Jesus speaking here. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Again, the hard thing about a passage of scripture like this is I'm kind of ripping it right out of context, and I don't want to do that to you. I don't just want to shove a verse down your throat and not give you an idea of what's going on around this. This is in John's version of the gospel and John's telling of the good news of the life of Jesus. This is these chapters are kind of coming at the end of Jesus' life. And he's kind of wrapping up his ministry, if you will, and he's spending time with his disciples, and he's encouraging them and building them up and preparing them for the reality that he's about to leave and giving them promises and reminding them of all of the truths that are happening. He prays for them in these verses. He's telling them that the Holy Spirit is going to come and be in them, that it's better for him to go than it is to stay. This is the context of this. And in these verses, he's recognizing that his time on earth is coming to an end. And he's accomplished all that the Father has given him to accomplish, save the cross. And he's reminding his followers that though the world around you is harassed and harried, I'm offering you something that the world can never, ever give you. I'm offering you peace, lasting peace, a quiet peace. I'm offering you something radically different than the world offers you. What we see in this passage of scripture is kind of the ribbon on Jesus' ministry, if you will. This is the bookend to Jesus' ministry. He came into the world bringing peace as a baby, knowing that he was the Savior and the Messiah of the world. And now that he has accomplished that, he's reminding his followers, "I am giving you this peace. I have walked through your life. I have understood what you're walking through. I've done so with peace. And now my peace I give to you as I'm leaving." This morning, I want to share four things with you from John chapter 14 as we kind of take it phrase by phrase. We're going to talk, if you want to follow along on your notes with me, I want to give you those ahead of time. Number one, we're going to talk about the gift of peace. We're going to talk about the source of peace. We're going to talk about the illusion of peace. And then finally, we're going to talk about the practice of peace. Let's look again at John 14, verse 27. I want to read it again to you. I'm going to drive this verse into your brain this morning. Jesus says again, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart or your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." What I want to talk about first in this first point, very briefly, because we've already talked about it some last week with Pastor Joe and with hope, and that Jesus comes to bring hope to a hopeless world, to bring what we in ourselves cannot produce. what in our own efforts, in our own try, in our own whatever it is that we cannot produce in ourselves. We cannot produce the hope that only God provides through Christ. Christ does that in Christ alone. And the same is true with peace. We can't muster that up in ourselves of our own strength and of our own abilities. We can't work towards this. We can't accomplish peace in our own efforts. Only God can do this. And what we see here first in this verse, we look at the first phrase, is that peace I leave with you. Now again, remember the context of John chapter 14, of who Jesus is speaking to in these verses. He is speaking to his disciples. He is speaking to those who have placed their trust in him, who have given everything and set it all aside to say, you are the Messiah, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God, we are following you. Where else would we go for the words of eternal life? We have found them in you and in you alone, Jesus. And so Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's saying, peace I leave with you. Now, it's key that he doesn't say, as he's looking around the rest of the world and those who are not following them, peace I leave with everyone. Saying, peace I leave with you. There's an objective peace that Jesus offers. The reality is the Bible teaches us that we are enemies of God. In our own strength, in our own abilities, in our own efforts, we are enemies of God. The Bible says we are at enmity with God. God has given us a clear path. He has given us expectation. He has laid on us what he desires for us. And in and of ourselves, we have rejected that. We have gone our own way. We have gone astray. We have not followed after what God wants us to do. Colossians 1:21 tells us this. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. The reality is, apart from Christ, apart from a rest in him, apart from a trust in him, we are alienated, we are hostile in mind, we are doing evil deeds. God is against us because of our sin, because of our rebellion against him. His wrath is being poured out on us. There is punishment for our sin. And what Jesus comes to offer is this objective peace, this bringing back together of these two parties that are at war with one another. We see the objective peace that only Jesus offers. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, it says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." You see, we are at war with God because of our sin, because of our rebellion, because of the evil that is in our hearts. God cannot be in our, we cannot be in God's presence, and there's punishment for that. And that is the thing that needs to be dealt with first and foremost. Before we can even begin to talk about the everyday peace in hard circumstances, the fundamental peace that we need more than anything else is a peace with God. And that peace only comes through Christ. It is only because he came into the world. It is only because he lived the perfect life and died a death that we deserve and was raised from the dead on the third day and seated at the right hand of the Father. It is only through Christ that this peace is accomplished, that these two parties are joined together again. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So how is the objective peace with God attained? How are we declared at peace with God once and for all? By faith through Christ. That's the only way. The Bible doesn't say work harder, doesn't say work it out, it doesn't say go to church, it doesn't say read your Bible more. It says place everything in Christ. Place your faith in Christ, and he will make peace between you and God. This is Jesus stepping in between two parties that are disagreeing with one another and making peace. My wife Katie and I, several years ago, the only time I've ever been called on jury duty, I was called to the same jury duty with my wife. Doesn't make any sense, but we were both called to the same jury duty. I called a county and said, this isn't going to work. This obviously isn't going to work. My wife and I can't sit on the same jury together. There's no way that's going to work. They said, too bad, show up anyways, and so we did. And so I was number like 6, and my wife was number 70 or 80, so there was no way she was going to get called, and I was thankful for that. And we were waiting and waiting and waiting for the surgery to come, and about 5 minutes before everything was supposed to happen, an important person in the court, I don't know who it was, came in and said, "Everybody go home. Everybody's happy now." Whatever had happened, the parties had settled outside in the hallway and said, "Are you happy? Yes. Am I happy? Yes. I'm agreeing to these things. Let's everybody shake hands and go home." What we settled in that moment is that there's a recognition, yes, something wrong had been done, but the offended party accepted the punishment of some kind, accepted what was going on and said, "That's sufficient for it. I'm fine with this. We don't need to move forward with this. Everything is accomplished that needs to be accomplished. We can all go home." And this is Christ with us. This is Christ in us and the mediator between us and the Father. That God is the offended party. We have sinned against him. We are owed the punishment of God. We are owed this from God. And for some reason, in some way that I don't even begin to understand, Jesus and Jesus alone is able to bridge the gap. He's able to appease the Father, to please the Father, to give rest to this, to say that whatever is required for these two parties to come back together has been accomplished once and for all. And it is now forever behind you, never to be brought up again. And because of Christ, we can come into this relationship with God. And this is the objective piece that we have. And I don't want to belabor the point, but I think it's really important for us to see this. That there are many of us who are striving for peace in this world, who are stressed out at work, who are overwhelmed and anxious and fearful and ashamed and struggling in life day in and day out and crying out, "What can be changed? What can be different? What can I do?" But the reality is, if this is not accomplished first and foremost, true daily peace will never happen. It will never be accomplished. There'd be consistent anxiety and depression and heartache and striving and cycle and cycle and cycle and cycle again. Apart from Christ, there is no true peace. What I want to say this morning as we kind of talk about what biblical peace is, what biblical peace is not. Biblical peace, I want to say kind of clearly here as we kind of move into our subjective part of what it means kind of everyday life. The biblical peace, it sounds strange to say it, but biblical peace is unrelated to your circumstances. It is not connected to the things that you're going through in the sense that when things are going well, peace increases, and when things are going bad, peace decreases. That is not a biblical peace. That is a worldly peace. A biblical peace is unrelated to our circumstances. It doesn't rise or fall based on the circumstances or the situation that you find yourself in. You see, biblical peace is the quiet in the midst of the storm. It's the calm in the face of pain, the rest in the hurriedness of life. Biblical peace is a steadfast trust in the power and goodness of God no matter the circumstances. No matter the circumstances. As I read through that and kind of say that, the question that comes to my mind immediately is, where do I get this peace? Where can I have this? Where can I accomplish this peace? Let's look at number 2 this morning and look at the source of peace. Again, John 14, 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." As we move through this verse into this next phrase, we see first that Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you, my peace with my disciples." They're now in right relationship with God. And he goes on to say, "My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you." This should astound us. This should overwhelm us when we see Jesus saying in this moment, "My peace." What kind of peace is offered to us? It is the personal peace of Jesus. It is his peace. It is the peace that he walked his life through. It is the peace that helped him in every situation of his life. It is the peace that when every storm and every heartache and every difficult circumstances came upon him, it is the peace that sustained him day in and day out. It is the peace that would sustain him on the cross. It is the peace that is this peace that he gives to us. You see, Jesus came into the world for this very purpose. To give us this peace. And the Bible tells us later on, not only does he give us this peace, but Jesus is our peace. He is our peace. He is the calm and the quiet and the soul in the midst of trials and heartaches. He is the peace that only He can give. But what's so unique about Jesus' peace? What's so amazing about it? What's so intriguing about Jesus' peace? As I read through the New Testament, as I read through the Gospel, and I look at the life of Jesus, and I see Him in John 14, towards the end of His life, offering this peace, the peace of Jesus that is so unique from any other kind of peace, is that it is a war-tested, proven peace. It is a peace that has seen every heartache. It is a peace that has been through every difficult circumstance. It is not hypothetical. It is not theoretical. It is not an empty promise, but tested, proven peace. Paul tells us, and later on in one of his letters, that Jesus has walked through every single temptation known to man. And He has come out on the other side sinless. He has come out on the other side of that unscathed, obeying His Father in every sense of the word. This is the kind of peace that I am longing for, the kind of peace that has seen every trial, that has understood every temptation that I have walked through, the kind of peace that has proven itself time and time again, to not give in, to not give up, to not be overwhelmed, to not lash out, to not be filled with anxiety, but a proven peace in the midst of all of those things to say, this is your peace. This is a peace that I'm offering to you. I want that kind of peace. I want a kind of peace that I can trust in. I want a kind of peace that I know has been through really hard things and is now offered to me, that whatever I'm walking through in my life, whatever difficult circumstance I find myself in, to know that there is a peace that has been proven to be successful, to be strong enough, to be sufficient, and that is the peace of Christ. I need a peace that has been time-worn and proven. I don't just need an idea. I don't just need an empty promise. I need proof. Jesus had proof. He could look at His life and to see the circumstance that were brought His way. Yesterday, I was doing some things in the house, and I needed to get up in the attic to be able to scope some things out. And the easiest way into our attic is for me to step on my wife's dresser and to stand on that. It's the easiest way. It's not the smartest way. It's the easiest way. The easiest way for that is for me to stand on the dresser and move the thing over and poke my head up and to go into that. And I was looking through some things. And my son Keith was intrigued about the attic and what was up in the attic, and thought that was really cool to be able to look into the attic. And so he comes and he asks, "Dad, can I look into the attic too?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." And he asked me, "How do I get up into the attic?" And I pointed to Katie's dresser and I said, "That's how you get up into the attic. You step on that and you stand up." And he looked at me and with all sincerity he said, "Is this dresser going to hold me?" And I looked at him as lovingly as I could and said, "Son, I just got off the dresser. If it'll hold me, it's definitely going to hold you." This is the kind of peace I need from Jesus. And this is the silliness at times that I go with Jesus through a hard circumstance, through a difficult thing, and I look at Jesus and I say, "Is this going to be enough? You're going to be able to do this? Is the peace that you offer me sufficient for the thing that I'm walking through right now?" That I look at Jesus at times and I say, "Yeah, the Bible says you've been through everything, but you don't know my life and the things that I'm walking through and the hard." When Jesus simply just says, "Look at me. If I can withstand this, so can you. If I can walk through this, so can you." And not because you are strong enough and not because you have it in you, but because I'm holding you. I'm the dresser. I'm the strength here. I am the one that will support you and to keep you in this. And this is Jesus. This is His life. Jesus demonstrated this peace over and over again in the face of hatred and injustice and rejection and pain. And in every situation, Jesus had a controlled, careful, calm serenity about Him. He never lost His temper. He never lashed out. He never turned away in frustration, but a calm sense of peace about Him. We see in Mark chapter 4, and verse 37 through 39, a very familiar verse to many of us, when Jesus is on the boat and they're asleep in the storm. Right? Remember this, he had just fed thousands and thousands of people, and they're going across this lake, and there's a great storm that comes about them. The disciples are freaking out about the storm, and Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat. And they go to Jesus, and they say, "Why are you asleep? What's happening here?" And Jesus wakes up, and he calms the storm, and he encourages his followers to grow in their faith. Now, what I love about the story is not so much that Jesus was asleep in the storm. What I love about the story is knowing who Jesus is. Jesus knew when he got on the boat that a storm was coming, and he took a nap anyways. He knew it was coming. This is Jesus who knows the beginning from the end. The storm did not surprise him. He did not wake up in a jolt in the middle of a storm. He fell asleep knowing the storm was on the way and slept right through it. This is the kind of peace that I long for. This is the kind of peace that Jesus offers us. This is the kind of peace that is not imaginary. This is the kind of peace that is real that Jesus offers to us. See, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, we see the Apostle Paul recognizing and resting in this kind of peace. It says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." Paul, recognizing his circumstances, goes on to say, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not given to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested for our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." In other words, what Paul is saying here, I recognize that the world around me is awful and hard at times. I'm not ignoring that fact. But because of Christ in me and living in me, I do not give up hope. I do not lack peace. I do not lack contentment because of what Christ is doing in me. And when we live a life like that, Christ gets the honor, not us. When we walk through peaceful or hard situations with peace and calmness and trust in our hearts, Christ gets the glory for that and not us. He is lifted high in our deathly bodies. He is lifted high in our hard circumstances. He deserves the honor and glory. The source of our peace is Christ, and he gives that peace to us. How does he give that peace to us? Very quickly, he gives that peace to us through the power of his Holy Spirit. That's how he gives that peace to us. Because of the Holy Spirit, he is abiding in us. Christ is reigning in us. He is living in us. That our mortal bodies are dying away, and Christ is growing more and more in us. That we are united with Christ, and so Christ is in us. And because Christ is in us, Christ's peace is in us. It is available to us. It is there for us. So number two, we see the source of peace. Number three, we see the illusion of peace. And Jesus gives a warning here to his disciples. Again, John 14, 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Again, a reminder, biblical peace equals steadfast trust in the face of any circumstances. It's a sustained satisfaction and calm. And it is vastly different, it is infinitely different than the peace that the world tries to give you. And Jesus warns his disciple, do not be tempted by the peace that the world is trying to offer you. It will not bring you peace. It will not bring you the steadfastness. It will leave you destroyed in the end. The peace the world gives is shallow and unfulfilling. It's false and it's fleeting. The peace that the world offers to you is no real peace at all. The peace the world tries to give you is to try to convince you that you can control your circumstances, that you are in charge of your destiny, that it's all based on you and on your shoulders. It's based on a peace that says, look deep within yourself, that in you is the peace that you long for, is the kind of peace. The world tries to legislate peace, tries to force peace on us. I see this horrific story this past week of this evil in Michigan, this young boy who goes and shoots his classmates. And four people are dead in this. And I read this article, and we're seeing parents being held culpable, at least in some part, for what was going on in this situation. I see this argument going on about how the better way to keep these kinds of things from happening. And one will say we need stronger schools, more cameras, more security guards, more checks of backpacks. We need more Alice drills. We need more of these things. We need to clamp down harder on our schools. And if we clamp down harder on our schools, these things won't happen. We have others that say, no, we don't need any of that stuff. What we need is more anti-bullying. What we need is more mental health. What we need is those kind of, if we do those kind of things, then that will solve the problem, and then we will be at peace with one another. Both are false. Both of those are false. Both of those are lies. We don't need better mental health. Yes, we do, but that's not our ultimate goal. That's not our ultimate aim. We don't need a better mind to think. We don't need more force. We don't need bigger guns than the other guy has, or stronger walls, or taller barricades than the other guy. We don't need that. What we need is Christ. Christ alone offers us this peace. The world will tell you that this is what you need, but it is not. We see in Jeremiah 6, verse 13 and 14, it says, from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain, and from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And this is the peace that the world offers you. It tries to trick you, tries to deceive you into believing that there is peace when there is not. There is not peace in this school. No matter how many laws you get up, no matter how many more cameras you put in, no matter how many more classes you put in about anti-bullying, there's not peace in that school. That will not solve the problem ultimately. That will not fix what's going on. No matter who we elect in our government, they will not ultimately fix things. They will not ultimately make things right. We look in Jeremiah 8:15, it says, we looked for peace, but no good came for a time of healing, but behold, terror. This is what awaits that. The world is not offering us this peace. The world cannot offer us this peace. And the worst thing about the world's peace is not necessarily that it's short-lived or it doesn't quite fulfill it or it helps only for a short time. The worst thing about the peace that the world offers is that it distracts you from what is coming ahead. It makes you think that this is all there is. It deceives you in thinking that your circumstances in this life, in this world, is all that there is. And if you can get this right and be calm and peaceful for just a few minutes, then everything will right. It distracts you and deceives you from seeing that there is an accountability that comes next. There is an account that must be given. But the peace that I need more than anything else is not for my job to be calm and my house to be calm, is but for God to accept me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And not only does the world give peace that is false, it fills our lives with things that can best, at best, only distract us from the source of peace. And at worst, it creates a greater anxiety in us. This is the peace that the world offers us. Not only does it distract us, but far worse than that, it brings us a greater anxiety. It brings us more anger, more fear, more restlessness. It doesn't offer the peace that Jesus does. My question to you this morning, as you think about your life and you think about the sources of peace in your life and where you are finding peace, my question to you and your activities and your habits of your life, those places that you go when things feel out of control or feel stressful, my question simply is this activity, is this habit producing peace in me? And I would wager a guess to say that most of the things we spend our time doing does not actually produce peace in us. That Facebook post that you fly off the handle and hit send, I got them. When you walk away from your time on Facebook, is it producing peace in you? When you're listening to those podcasts and you're watching the TV news and you're spending hours and on hours watching movies or whatever it is it producing peace in you? Do you walk away with a sense of calmness, of steadfastness, of trust, of a bravery in the midst of heartache because of those things? Are you finding things in your life or striving to find things in your life that you think will bring you peace, but in the end just bring you down further and further? Your refrigerator, your cupboards, and the food that we pull out of those things to say, I'm stressed, I'm having a hard time, things are difficult, this will bring me some level of peace. The alcohol that you are stuck with and addicted to, is that bringing greater peace in that? The pornography that you find yourself going after when things get stressful in your life, is it producing peace in you? The answer is no, it's not. It's producing greater anxiety and greater shame and greater rebellion and greater anger in you and greater restlessness in you. Only Christ can produce that peace in you. The world cannot offer this. Maybe for a short time it will seem like things are peaceful and calm, but in the end, they are not. Finally this morning, let's look at the practice of peace. Jesus says these words and he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but as I give to you." And then he gives this kind of practical application to this and he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So this isn't just this kind of class on peace and here's peace and go figure it out. That Jesus recognizes that what's going on in the disciples' hearts is a recognition that, all right, our protector, our kind of big brother, the one who kind of watches over us and keeps us, is staying with us. He's about to leave us. And I don't know if we're ready for that. I don't know if we're ready for Jesus to depart from us. And that Jesus calms and grants peace to his disciples and say, don't let your hearts be troubled, to let them be afraid. This is a kindness of Jesus. And Jesus calls for a response to this promise of peace. Our response to Jesus' promise of peace is to rest in the peace that he promises us. You see in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, it says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." How do we live out that peace? How do we day to day, moment by moment, live out the peace that Jesus offers to us? Our mind is stayed on him. We focus our attention, our devotion, and our hearts on Jesus. We are meditating on him. Hiding away the truths of this, trusting in the promises of God, that's when the peace of God comes. When our mind is stayed on him, not on the circumstances around us, but stayed on him. The little boy in the girl's bathroom was unafraid because his mind was not fixated on the tornado, but on the immediate circumstances around him, on the immediate protection around him. When things and the tornadoes and the storms of life come around us, is our minds stayed on Jesus? It doesn't ignore the circumstances. It doesn't act like they're not there. It doesn't say, I'm not worried about those things. It says, my mind is stayed on Jesus. And Jesus offers perfect peace. Jesus has been through a situation like this, and he has shown peace and success and victory in this, and then he gives this to me as well. He is strong. He is sure. He can stand in the face of the storm. This is the trust and the peace that Jesus offers to me. Colossians 3 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Paul repeats the promise and the call of Christ to let this peace rule in our hearts. He reminds those who have believed in Christ to let that peace that Jesus gives to them to rule and reign in their hearts. What I love about this passage of Scripture, this idea of rule, it's not about running after peace or seeking peace or fighting for peace or working for peace. It is surrendering to peace. It is saying the peace of Christ is in me. He has already given that to me. He reigns in me. His peace reigns in me. I am surrendering to the rule of Christ's peace in my heart. It's about releasing control. It's about looking at your circumstances and holding even more tightly onto Christ and say, you do what you have to do. I trust you completely, fully. This is where peace comes from. Not by grabbing on, not by trying to fix things. This is where peace comes from. This is the peace that only Jesus offers us. As we close this morning, just a reminder to us about just the foundation of all of this and just another plea to us this morning. I don't know you, where I know your heart is. I don't know where you are in your relationship to the Lord. I don't want to make any assumptions this morning whatsoever about where you are. And so I don't want to give you empty advice or empty just kind of morality and saying, here's a peace that Jesus can help you with and you can stay strong in the middle of heartache. And I don't want to give you that. Because if you have not surrendered your life to Christ, first and foremost, this peace is not available to you. This is a gift that must be received. It is a free gift that must be received. It is the work of Christ on our behalf. to forgive us of our sins, to forgive us of our debts, to cancel the debt that is against us, to bring us into right relationship with the Father once and for all. And if you have not placed your trust in Christ, I say this unequivocally, unashamedly, there is no peace available for you. It may feel like it for a short time. Your circumstances might change and feel better for a short time, but there is no real lasting peace available for you. It is only in Christ. He is our peace. He accomplished everything that we could never accomplish on our own. It is in Him. And to you this morning who have accepted Christ and are trusted in Christ and believe in Him and know that it is Christ who has paid this for you, I think there are many of us this morning would say objectively, I know this to be true and I can check that off my list. I said a prayer, I walked an aisle, I gave my faith genuinely to Christ and I believe that I am secure in my relationship with Christ. But I can guarantee that the same number of us who say objectively, I am no at peace of God, that same number probably struggle on a regular basis with not feeling that sense of peace in the day-to-day routines and hardship of our life. For some of us, it just seems really out of grasp for us. It just seems way too far out for us. My encouragement, my challenge to you this morning, believer in Christ, it is not. That peace is available to you. It is a gift to you. If Christ is abiding in you, Christ's peace is also abiding in you. Don't fight against it. Don't fight for it. Release, surrender, and accept the gift of peace that only Jesus offers you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Jesus, we come to you this morning. We thank you that you are our peace, that you are our help, that you are everything that we need in this world and the next. I pray, God, that you would give us this peace this morning. In the midst of our hurried, busy schedule, in the midst of the heartache we're facing, in the midst of the difficulties that we're facing, Jesus, we pray that you would be our peace, that we would trust in you, that we'd have a steadfastness about us in the midst of this peace because it is from you and not from ourselves, to be able to demonstrate to the world that, Christ, you have accomplished this, that you have done this. It is you in us. It is not ourselves. We ask these things in Jesus' name.